Sims on January 23rd. This is tape one, side one. Okay, and I think if you can tell me again your birth date and where you were born.
I was born in Barneville, Wisconsin, which is only about 30 miles west of here, on June the 9th, 1911.
That was, you went through high school there?
I went through high school, grade school, high school, and then eventually I went to the nurse's training at Methodist Hospital here in Madison.
Yeah, Madison. Did you live on a farm, or?
I lived on a farm all the time.
Oh.
My father was a Swiss immigrant, so was my mother, and we lived on a farm near Barneville. In fact, well, he bought a bigger farm than 15 years later or so. And we still, my two sisters and brother and I, still own that place as a farm.
Uh-huh.
As
a working farm?
It's a working farm. It's a 360-acre dairy farm.
Wow.
So, you know, you still have some ties to it, still have contact with the town. So I've lived all my life in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And in this area, really.
You had how many brothers and sisters?
I had two brothers. One of them died 22 years ago. And I have two sisters.
Mm-hmm. And you were, how were you arranged in this family?
I was the oldest girl. Uh-huh. I had a brother who was older. And then actually, my brother and me, then another brother, the one that died, and a sister that lives here in Madison and used to be with the Division of Health and Social Sciences. She was the adoption authority. And then my younger sister, who's 4 years younger than my other sister, as a last year teaching kindergarten in Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all lived in this area.
Mm-hmm.
My brother that's living lives in Mount Horeb,
mm-hmm.
and he manages the farm and has an insurance agency there.
When you were growing up, did you have any thoughts about what you wanted to be when you were grown?
No, not really. Not in those days. There was really very little open to you. There were only two things the kids seemed to do that went to school. One was to go to Platteville. It was called State Teachers College.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was going to nurses training. And there were a number of the Swiss girls that were a little older than I was, had gone to Milwaukee to a nursing school. But the Methodist Hospital was kind of actively recruiting, but those were the two things, really. And it was cheaper to go into nurses training than anything else, because you had your board and room,
mm-hmm.
and you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really how, but it was a real stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's really how I got there.
Mm-hmm.
It was because my mother was interested that we go on to school, and but those are just about the only things open to you. There was, you know, there was just not the variety, or that's all you really knew about. You were much more isolated and lived in smaller communities. Plus, you know, there was no counseling or, you know,
right.
anything like that. And all you knew is what people had done ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I never even gave much thought of going to the university, although there were some that went to the university, some students had gone.
From your high school?
Yeah. And so that's how I got into nurses training, really. Not that I disliked it ever or anything, but it was not a conscious decision that this is what I wanted to do. And I think it's gotten me a long ways. But, you know, that's just one of those things that happens that way. So.
So that was in, you were born in 1911, so.
I entered nurse's training in February 1930. I was home, we lived on a big farm. My mother always needed help. And I was home on the farm for a year and a half before I went into training, after I was out of high school. and I entered nurses training in 1930 and graduated in February 33, really at the depth of the depression. Mm-hmm. And they were glad to be rid of you, these small schools, it's true. They were having a hard time keeping the door open. And no help as to, you know, where there might be work or so forth. The only thing you knew about was private duty, which, well, you really weren't, you know, was unappealing as far as I was concerned, but you, it's the only thing you knew what to do, and gradually you got a few jobs once in a while. I was just lucky I had a home to go to. Mm-hmm. That was all. Where we had something to eat, because we lived on a farm, and we at least had food.
Mm-hmm. Right. So your father wasn't in danger of losing his farm?
No, he really wasn't. He actually, by the time of the Depression, we lived on the second farm, the big farm that we still owned, and he was able, and I really don't know the details of it. I know he bought it at a bankrupt sale, so, but still, being 360 acres, it was a lot of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a state loan that was lower in interest. My father was, we were hardworking. As a family, my family was very hardworking. My father was, I think, as you look back on it, he was much better businessman than many people who came as foreigners, you know, or people, the English, you know, around there. He was a good businessman. He took care of his finances. He was very thrifty. And, but as I said, we had always had food to eat, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, you know, we were very poor, but then so was everybody else.
Yeah.
So was everybody else, so it just was no different.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, I was glad to go home. My older brother that has an insurance agency, has really done very well for himself and so forth, you know, was home. He didn't go on to school. In fact, unfortunately, it was just, you know, these things may be seem odd to you. It was in a stage where, did you go on to high school, the boys, you know? It was not great pressure. And it was the country school teacher that tipped the scale. No, he should come back to grade school one more year. This was stupid. He was a smart kid. But he's done well for himself. But this is how he didn't go on to high school, which was always then became a sore point, and he regretted it, which he should, because then I went 2 years later, but you know, he should have gone the same time I did. But then all the kids after I went to high school. But the fourth one in the family, Martha, my sister there was so short, was the first one that went to the university. Alfred, actually my older brother, went to what they call the short course at the university. Agriculture.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he did. It was 2 winters. It was two winters, I think. It's 2 winters for 3 5-week sections is what they are, 5-week sections. And it was two winters. And he graduated from the short course. You know, you were going to be farming, and those current courses are very good for the farm kids.
So you came to Methodist school?
In 1930.
In 1930, and that was a 2-year course?
3-year course.
3-year course.
It was a 3-year course. Yeah. We had all of us 7-8 month affiliation with Cook County in Chicago. And then it was the end of January. I think it was the end of January, I can't even remember, or early February, probably it was early February. I came back from Cook County. I'd been there since June, the middle and toward the end of June. And I had expected at least 6 weeks. I never had any surgical nursing or any, you know, anything. No, I was through training. You know, you really had no concept of how many days you had to, and when you were on night duty, you were supposed to be on 4 weeks, but you didn't know. And I remember I was due to come off. I knew I should come off over the weekend, but Miss Knight went away for the weekend, never posted it. So you really never knew. You worked, so I came off Monday morning, then it was posted Monday morning, I was through. She did give me an extra night, an extra day off for having to come back to work. But, you know, that's ridiculous to have schedules like that now. You know, that would never work these days.
Did you work a 12-hour shift? Or was it?
It was a, how was that? Yes. If you were, I was the senior one on, so I didn't, I know we had, it was 12-hour shift and you were supposed to have 2 hours off during the night to sleep, yes.
Oh, that was kind of them.
Yeah. And it was 12-hour shift, yes, and from 7 at night to 7 in the morning. And then, you see, you had a second student that came on at 9 o'clock or 9:30 or something like that. And then you were supposed to have, I think, from 2 to 5 or 2 to 4:30 or so forth. I just cannot exactly remember. Mm-hmm. But it was something like that. Mm-hmm. But you know that, and then if you have problems sleeping or so forth, which I always did when I was on night duty, that was the worst. Even when I worked at general duty at university hospitals, I just have problems sleeping lots of times. But that was 11 to 7, that was different.
Yeah.
That's not
that different. A lot different.
Yeah.
So but after you finished, did you go home on your days off? Did you go home to Barnesville?
No. We had a day off a week. I guess, yes, we must have, yes. And of course, we had classes a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually went home if I was off. You know, we only could go home about once every 6 weeks. We were able to get a weekend, and we would have to have our parents write to the superintendent to ask if we could be off that weekend. So it had to all be arranged and about once every 6 weeks. And that meant from Friday afternoon, you got off Saturday at 3, and then had Sunday as your day off. And I generally went, you know, all that, and about once. Well, if you came off night duty, you probably had 2 nights off. And then you had some summer vacation, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that.
And after you finished school, you...
After I finished nurses' training, there really was no work. I can't remember. I was home for a while. Then there was some kind of WPA project that somebody contacted me for. I worked in Iowa County. You had to have a car, but of course I didn't have a car. I worked some in Mineral Point. You did. You did some kind of, examination of the kids.
Oh.
I really can't quite remember. It was a public health project, and then I was Iowa County, and I would have certain schools I had to cover, and if there were any, and my sister drove for me. We had two cars at home, and gradually I got some private duty work. And then, I just don't remember how it happened. Gradually, the University of Wisconsin was hiring people for 3 weeks or, 2 weeks special duty and so forth. And, you forget about those things. You aren't too clear on them. This was then, and this then came 34, I know. Oh, and yes, the summer of 34, my mother had a mastectomy, and so I took care of her. Yes, and my father in January had a herniorrhaphy. And so I have both my parents had took care of some. So, that always takes some of your time. And in 34, my mother had to have a mastectomy. And I knew, and then those days, all the treatment they did was was something called radium treatment. And I knew well enough, if I didn't go home and take care of the house, she was supposed to come back in January. She would never get back to the hospital to do it. So So anyhow, I got this job working at a university hospital for 3 weeks. They were calling. You had something called the nurse's registry that you joined. And they called you from that. They called me there. And I worked at the hospital. Anyhow, Miss Den was hiring people. And this was in December. Well, and she wanted to hire me. And so I told her, you know, yes, I really would like to. I would very much like to, but I said I had a real problem. I said my mother had to go in for some radium treatment. This was going to be early, middle of January. And I said, I just knew I had to go home. I had to have that week off. Well, she was very accommodating that day. Very nice. I should just come back when I was ready to go back to work. I should just come back. That was fine. This was just before Christmas and so forth. Well, you know, that didn't turn out to be quite that good because the kids that started then, I had a friend who started right at the same time. So then the next year, you know, she got two weeks vacation and all the holidays and everything. Well, anyhow, I went home, stayed home, and my mother went in, was radium treatment, and then I came back. And I came back, and you know, I went off the registry so they don't call you. And so I came back to see her. An appointment, I had to wait an hour, had an appointment with her, and I waited an hour to see her. She'd been in a meeting. I don't know, must have been a bad meeting, and so forth. I saw her. She wanted to know if I was on the registry. And I said, no, she had told me to come on back. I have been thoroughly humiliated twice in my life, and that was the first time. She just tongue-lashed me up and down. The idea, well, my dues are paid. I can go back on the registry. I didn't realize I was supposed to. The idea that I would think I'd want a job. She would hire me if I wasn't on the registry. You know, I walked out of there, and I walked out, you know, with the hospital. I was up at Mill Street where I really knew where I was. I had, you know, it was such a turnaround. It was as if, I don't think you don't lecture a criminal like that. Well, eventually, I went on the registry. I had a family I could stay with here. And I went on the registry, and I worked. There was a chronic patient, a student, at university hospitals. And he was having nurses and never paying him and everything. And anyhow, they called me Saturday night, yes. Anyhow, Saturday. So I took care of him Saturday night. I was a night nurse. You know, I worked that one night. And I just decided I just wasn't going back. I didn't even bother to submit a bill. Was not going back to take care of him, and I was done. So I called the registry, and I told him I wasn't feeling good. I can remember. I mean, that Sunday, said I couldn't be back. And I was just in there Monday noon, thinking, I guess I ought to go back on the registry. Maybe I'd get a job, and the phone rang. And it was a lady from Barneveld that I knew. They lived on a farm. That her husband had pneumonia. They needed, these days, they wanted a nurse. They needed a private nurse. If I would come out, they'd call my dad. If I would come out, and she told me who it was, somebody would come and get me, come up to Methodist Hospital and get me. And so I said, yes, I would. And I packed up and I went. And I worked for them for 2 weeks. Took care of me, got better. I got the the German measles. They had a girl working there, got the German measles, and I never had the German measles. So, anyhow, I had written to the registry to put me back on. And then, just then, it was, you know, a few days. And then I broke out with the German measles. And so first thing then, I had a phone call from University Hospital.
Oh, dear.
And I said, I was sorry. I am all broken out with the German measles. And it just happened, and I knew I was going to have, it just happened, and I hadn't called the, I hadn't, had had, you know, you just didn't make a long distance call. I can't remember, I hadn't called the directory. And they said, well, I should, they wanted me, would I, they wanted to offer me a job, go back to work. They wanted to know if I could come in next Friday. And I said, yes, by then I ought to be well. So I went in next Friday, and they just had me sign the papers and so forth, you know, or something or other, and told me how much it would be, seems to me. So anyhow, it was kind of stupid to ask me to come Friday, because no, I couldn't go to work till Monday morning. So I had the whole week, which I'd rather stay home. Anyhow, I came in Friday, I started working Monday morning on 4 East, which was the medical floor, the middle of March, and that was then, was 1935, yes. That was 2 years mm-hmm. after I graduated. And then I worked at University Hospitals from there on.
Where'd you live?
At that time they had on Randall Avenue, no, see that dorm on University Avenue was a student nurse's dorm.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was student nurse's dorm. But on Randall and Lorch Court and over where the, on Lorch Street, which used to be the interns and residence quarters,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
They had, there were a lot of houses and the University Hospital owned all those houses. And so when I first worked there, I lived with this family on Spate Street. They had had a daughter that was a nurse's training too, and the family lived there. And that's where I always stayed. If I had a place, you know, I'd stay, and I had to take the bus, and I can't remember. So eventually I moved in then. I lived there for a while, for a couple of weeks. And then I moved into one of those houses. And I can't remember what they deducted from your salary for. You you could send your uniforms to the laundry, but not your sheets or any personal laundry. You sent your uniforms, they did your uniforms, and you got your meals at the hospital. And because I didn't start until in March, I didn't get any of the holidays or I didn't get any vacation. I remember I had Thanksgiving Day off but that was my day off for the week. Yeah. And they didn't give you any of the holidays. Or, you know, if you've worked 6 months and then like to do now, I just didn't get any for the year. But the girl that started the 1st of January got 2 weeks vacation plus all the holidays, and they were something like 8 or 9 holidays they got. So you see, that was just, they just made no provisions whatever. When you didn't start right the first of the year, you were just out. I worked. I started the middle of March.
Yeah. But do you remember what your salary was?
I think it was something like $66 or $68
a month.
Yeah. You, of course, you got your meals. I think they told you it was 70, but they deducted something or other. She didn't tell you anything. I can't remember, but I know it was between $66 and $68 a month. Yeah. And they really didn't make very many adjustments in anything until it got to be 1940, 41, 42, because when I first started then going to school, after I'd worked there a number of years, you could go to school. Yes, you're supposed to take a nursing major, a ward administration major it was called, you know, if you were a nurse, and you would eventually get 36 credits for your nurse's training from elsewhere. And you worked half time. But you see, in those days we worked 48 hours a week. But half time was 28 hours a week, 4 hours, 7 days a week. You had no days off, it was just 4 hours, 7 days a week. You were paid half time. But that was just another one of Miss Den's decrees. You worked half time was 28 hours. And it wasn't until after Miss Den left and Miss Fletcher was director of nurses. And it must have been 41 or so. I remember there was quite a change. We got quite a raise, But see, the pressure was on then. The nurses were starting to be drafted to go in the war and so forth. When they put that then to 24 hours a week, or I think it was the first year. It was either 40 or 41 when they put it to 24 hours a week, mm-hmm. and which was 6 4-hour days, mm-hmm. usually.
Did you feel that you were being mistreated or?
Oh, you were annoyed at it, and you realized that this was unfair. But you you really had no recourse, or you didn't, if you said anything, mm-hmm. you know. I remember we were talking about Mr., you know, everybody sent their sheets to the laundry, too, you know, this sort of stuff. And because she said, you know, they sent the laundry, and they, I remember she said, our wages, we got about $3 or $4 less a month than they told us, and you know, it's never made clear just what they deducted and so forth, what it was they deducted, because you weren't paying income tax or anything, and you weren't, and there was no state pension, nothing ever set up, and so, you know, everybody else in the house, or most of them, were sending their sheets, you know, the sheets to laundry with their uniforms. So one day was that first summer, Stan really called us all in. I had the nerve to say, well, they really didn't pay us what they...
Just a second, I'm sorry. I want to make sure I've got...
Then I said, we also were, you know, I said, that's very true, but everybody else was doing it, and we were not getting what they had said they'd take. Well, if you didn't like it here, you can quit. I said, that was not the point at all. But you didn't. Oh, I these days, you know, those things would not work.
Right.
It wouldn't. I thought it was a little unfair. I thought it was unfair, and but you didn't spend so much time talking about it as you would now.
Mm-hmm.
What vacation days do you have? And so forth. It was just the way they did. I always thought it was just absolutely rude. I think it was ruder now when I think about it. How is she, you know? When I my dues, and I told her my dues were paid, and I had no idea I was supposed to be back on the registry. She just said I should come back, and but I, you know, in retrospect, you think of those things and realize that they would never get by with these things.
Right.
They would not get by with, but you know. You worked.
Mm-hmm.
You were happy to have a job,
yeah.
Earn some money. You knew there were things that were unfair, but you didn't let it. I guess you didn't think that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it did make an impression, because you remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you meet
Leroy? I met him the first summer he came up here.
37.
Yeah. I can't remember whether... Oh, I know. I didn't think he was the ENT resident then. I was working on 5 East. I worked on 5 East then quite a while. That was the eye, ear, nose, and throat. And we also had the plastic surgery. We had adult plastic surgery there, and then the children plastic. There was a great deal more children plastic surgery, and that was over at the orthopedic hospital. And at that time, they moved... they were in the children... what was... ended up the children's hospital the last years, but that's where they were at that stage already, over at the orthopedic hospital, and of course they had a lot of orthopedic cases in those days. And he was on the plastic service. I remember knowing him then. And, I had some dates with him at that time. But then I didn't really start, didn't go until, it was after he came back from
second time.
That was in 39.
A year later.
Year and a half. Yeah. He was in Minnesota for a year. But it was after he was back in 39 as a medical resident. I left for a semester in 38. I went to New York, worked at Manhattan Ear, Nose, and Throat. I don't know why. I took one of their postgraduate courses. I just was bored with here. I thought some of going to school, somebody taught me out, my supervisor taught me out of it, and I was just kind of bored. and I went to New York, and that was stupid in a way, but it was good because it got me away. And I was offered a job at the ENT department at Cornell, but I wanted to come back. I knew my mother was going to have a metastasis someday. I knew, just knew. And actually, was that fall when I came back. She had a bone metastasis, and she died in 1940. But you had greater loyalty in a way to your family, because you needed, they needed you. Yeah, it wasn't, I don't think you had probably greater loyalty than I feel my children probably have, but the point was they needed you more than we need them.
Let's just stop here, and we're almost to the end.
Yeah, I'm talking.
This is an interview with Ann Sims. This is side take one. Side two. All right, Ann. We're talking about
being back in 39.
Coming back from home at that point. Or
no. No, New York.
Coming back from New York.
Yeah. Did I go back to ENT? Yes, I did. And that's when I started school then. Because then I realized, you're going to do anything, if you're going to stay in nursing, or you're going to do anything working, you might as well go to school and get to school and get a degree in nursing. And
that was early. I mean,
that was
was
in
1930, forward-looking.
In 39. And so then I started school. And then then my mother had a rather severe metastasis, and then I took a leave from the hospital. At the end of that first, in June of 1940, I went home. My mother was a bed patient by then.
And you were not married to Lee?
No. I went home, and I stayed until, she died in September, and Father was always anxious to be around. Anyhow, I did not come back till the first part of October. And then I worked full time. I worked 6 East, which was women's GYN. And then in the second semester, I went back to school again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had two semesters in school. And then I went back to school, second semester of, that would have been January of 41. And worked. And I think by then we were only working 24 hours a week. I know that first year it was 28. And I think it might have been the summer of 41 when Miss Fletcher changed that. And then I went for both semesters, 41, the spring semester and the fall semester. And the spring semester, 42, and Leroy and I were married in May of 42, about 3 weeks before he went in the Army. Because by then, see, December 41, and it was the war. And this hospital unit was being organized, and everybody was being mobilized.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the first ones in. There are a couple of them, Dr. Shapiro and Homer Kohler, went to Camp Grant. They went to Camp Grant. Now, I'm trying to think where Hootie Weston went, where Dr. Weston went. He was the commanding officer. Anyhow, Leroy went in June, and gradually that unit, everybody got in. And by the next summer then, they got them all together down at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, summer 43. So see, then I went to school. See, in 42, I worked the summer of 42, we were married May of 42, and I worked full time. I worked in the eye service and surgery, and worked full time. Leroy was a Camp Grant, and I worked, and I went to school the first semester of 42. And then I dropped out of school in January. The semesters used to be, they
mm-hmm.
didn't end till the end of January. You know, your exams were the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have 2 weeks of school after Christmas vacation. And I quit working at the hospital, I think, the end of January. January, anyhow, 42. And then It was a camp, we were at Camp Grant.
So you went with...
Then I went with her, yeah, Camp Grant. Then we were detached up to Rochester. He went to school up there, 3 months, 2.5 months. And then we were back at Camp Grant for about 2 weeks. Then the whole unit was just being assembled down in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. It was kind of a marking time. Mm-hmm. We went to Houston for a week before we went to Oklahoma. And then I came back from Fort Sill. I left there the 8th of September, 1943. And I think that weekend, there were a lot of them shipped out. Most of the whole unit got shipped out to the West Coast, near Stockton, California. And then most of the nurses, Ed Gordon and somebody else, I can't think who it was, were, you know, within a week were on their way to Australia. And the rest of them were on the West Coast for six weeks. I know that Roy was, a lot of the wives went out. But I had gone home on the farm to my father. My father was on the, he was a widower, and then I had a brother. The one that died was single, living on the farm, mm-hmm. and we had a man working for us, a cousin. My sister, who had been home, my youngest sister, went in service. She was a WAC. And so I was home then from September of 43 till the end of March 46, oh, when Leroy came home. Leroy was gone. It was 31 to 32 months mm-hmm. that I was home. Mm-hmm. And then my dad moved off the farm right at that time.
And you didn't do any nursing during this period
no,
of time?
No, I didn't do any nursing. I was home on the farm. I was the housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And just as essential
mm-hmm.
out
right.
there. I know they tried to get me to come in and, mm-hmm. and do things, and I did not go back into nursing.
You didn't have any feeling about
no, I felt,
to get back or
no,
back
well, in many ways,
or?
I kind of wanted, I had no feeling about going back to school. I would like to have done nursing, I'd been perfectly happy, but it was just a case where you were also important to
mm-hmm.
your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happier than most of the wives. Simply because I was, you know, this kind of builds on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to be very cliquish during wartime,
oh.
what you hear. And everybody would be happy to see me when I come to Madison. and all the petty little things. And I was very needed and important. And I was very busy. I worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I get unhappy about it. Bored times, but overall, I realized I was better off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was better, and everybody was coming home. Leroy was held then much longer too. He had a medical specialty number, and he had the highest medical specialty number south of Manila in the whole Philippine Islands. By the time they demobilized. And he always said they held him because they wanted the whole army good physical exams. One of the things that got some of the older fellows out was they gave so many points for children. Each child was 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
That took a lot, that got a lot of them out quick.
Mm-hmm.
Then some of the young fellows that were not married or so forth were sent to Manila for about 4 weeks or so. While they were, you know, in the Philippines for the Battle of Manila, and they got an extra battle star, and that was 5 or 6 points. And then by the 1st of January, everybody was, you know, first
mm-hmm.
part of January, Murph and Ken Lemmer, who had no family, you know, children, and they had been in that long. But this is when they held Leroy then and didn't let him go. And he was the last one home of the 44th, except two fellows that didn't come. There was this Richter, a bachelor, he and Dr. Weston didn't get along anyhow, and who, a radiologist, knew when they went to Kansas City and Arizona and so forth. And then an ENT, a fellow that had been a resident here, an ENT, and he'd been intern when Leroy was an intern and resident in ENT, and he went to Fort Worth. and he was also, for some reason or other, didn't get back quite as soon, but he was not coming to Madison. But Leroy was the last person home, and he didn't get home. I met him in Chicago the 31st of March, when most of them been home by the middle of January, see, in 46.
Incredible.
Yeah. And see, Leroy, by the time Leroy had all this leave, by the time Leroy got home the 31st of March, and he had enough leave that he was paid by the Army up through about the 6th, 7th or 8th of July. Then he started on the faculty here. The second week of May, I can't remember the date, thinking like something like 13th of May.
Apartment here in town?
We had a room. We had a room on Chandler Street, which is down by Madison General.
Uh-huh.
And then we got a one-room apartment on 1218 Spring Street. And the only reason we got that is because I was Swiss, and the man that owned the apartments, he was a hypocrite, but he was Swiss. And we had a one-room apartment, and we lived in that one-room apartment from 1st of June, 46, John, we were there. John was born March of 47, until the 48th, 1st of June, until June 48, and when we moved to University Houses, we were in the first group that moved into University Houses, and then we lived at University Houses for 3 years, and we moved into this house. This area was just opening up at that time. It was really not opened all the way through. It wasn't until 55 when they opened Cherokee School that they opened it from just up here by the railroad tracks, Odana, and built that area through. It was built this side and then some streets over there. And we moved here in May of 51 when there was only a street on one side, but we knew it was going to be a boulevard. Although, you know, the man that we bought it, they didn't say so, but real estate people knew well enough that this was going to, and it just, you know, as you think about it now, that this was going to be a north-south thoroughfare. It's just going to be. There's no other, the city spread out, and there's no other, it's a very good connection over to University Avenue. And that it was going to, although it's really not bad, you know, you learn things. Traffic moves in one direction. We never had any problem about the children, really. That time the yards were open, the trees weren't as big, and everybody was in the backyards. But also traffic moves in one direction, and that's so much easier than if traffic moves in both directions on a street. You really don't have much problem.
Were you working at all in?
No, I didn't work. I was not interested. Leroy tried to encourage me to go back to school, but I was not. I just wasn't interested. And I knew well enough, unless I was really interested, I was the type of person that would do all my housework first and everything else, and you just didn't have time to study. And I was not interested. No, and then we lived at Eagle Heights. And that was kind of inconvenient. You know, those things were all very inconvenient until they sort out the... you couldn't do laundry. There's only one laundry for this... You know, we had something like 37 units, and everybody had small children, and you could only use the laundry from 6 to 9 in the morning or so forth until 6 in the evening. And, you know, this was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things need to be, you know, sort of rules worked out.
Right.
And, you know, and so it was, I didn't work. No, I've done a lot of volunteer work in recent years. But I've never worked since we've been married, except for that first semester, you know, that summer. But at that stage I wasn't interested. I was interested in having a family, and I was not interested. And then gradually I got involved in, as the kids grew up, I both worked in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, you know, Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts, and the church, and, you know, if you really want to, and then University League, and I was busy as I wanted to be, or more so.
Mm-hmm.
But it gave you some outside contact,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think is good.
The Department of Medicine was fairly small.
It was smaller. I think you got to know people a lot better. You were closer, yes. There was Helen Dickey, and there were the Myers, and you entertained a little more, I think, and the department was smaller. They would be picnics.
Oh.
Yeah. And some reception. And the Department of Medicine was just really much smaller. And you got to kind of know the people a little better,
mm-hmm.
which I think you don't know anymore. I don't know how you feel, but we certainly haven't in recent years. Just haven't gotten them, and I don't know how much entertaining anybody else does. And
so you did a fair amount of entertaining.
I did a fair amount of entertaining, and
these were with in the department.
Yeah, in the department, and they were all, you know, there were always some things. You knew the department a whole lot better than you do now.
Mm-hmm.
You knew, and you also sort of knew the place was much smaller. You knew it. Maybe because I knew at one time so many of the doctors had been residents here or were residents, knew the people in town also so much more than you do now. But of course some of that is you're away from it and you're older and you always knew people coming along.
Right.
But still, there was a time right after the war, you know, a lot of the fellows, of course, that went to practice had been residents while I worked at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you saw a lot of those
mm-hmm.
people. I think we entertained, you know, you entertained a great deal more. So that, and with small children, that's a lot of work.
Right.
It's a lot easier now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a great deal easier.
So when was your second, you have two boys, right?
Yeah. John was born in March of 47.
He's my brother's age. Yes.
Oh, you have a brother that age?
Yeah.
I see. And Elizabeth.
No, 47, no. He graduated from high school in 47.
Yeah, in 47, I see. Well, John was born March 47. Everybody was having a baby that time. And Elizabeth was born in December 48. So they're 21 months apart, but they were only a year apart in school.
So your second child was a girl?
Yes.
Oh.
We have a daughter.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought you had two boys, but
No.
Okay.
This, the daughter is who went to visit in Ethiopia.
Okay.
She's the one that lives in Ethiopia.
Okay.
And then Tom was born after we lived here, in May of 52. And he was a very precipitous child.
Right.
I had a premature separation of the placenta, if you know what that
is.
Yes,
I do.
And I had an emergency cesarean at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was just one of those fortunate things. It had been the other Tuesday. It was the fifth Tuesday of the month. Those days, Leroy was going up to Camp McCoy every other Tuesday. And it was just the Tuesday between the
mm-hmm.
and Camp McCoy. And, he's the youngest. So they're, Tom and John are 5 years apart. Just a little better, 5 years apart. So then there's always schools, and John started school that fall when Tom was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lived here, we build on to the house. See this, that was sort of a porch. The opening was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a cement platform, and Leroy screened it in that first summer. And then, but we just had to have traffic, it made so much traffic on the living room. And then we built that addition onto
mm-hmm.
it, which makes it much larger. It, of course, enclosed the kitchen then.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen was not that, but it made it much larger.
Right.
It made it a much better house. You know, you just gradually. then eventually, you know, I went back to school in 76 after toying with it for some time. I had.
What decided you to go back?
Well, Leroy was always very busy. You know,
by then,
by then he was so busy. I did a lot of work. All the kids were all away at school, one way or the other, at school, graduate school. By that time, they were all in grad school, one place or the other. And I just wanted something else to do. I didn't want to do. I had done all the volunteer work I wanted to do. I've been president of the University League. I could have been president of the Service League at church, but I turned that down. And I just didn't want to, and I suppose if I didn't have those credits, you know, I might not have started fresh. But I just decided, and I, so finally I called one day, called the admissions, and asked them how many credits I had. I wasn't quite sure. I knew it was around 60, but it was 69.
But this is a school that, you did in the late 30s.
In the 30s. From 39, I went every semester except one, from 39 to the fall semester of 42. So it was 3 years, because I was out the fall semester of 40, because I was still home. My mother died in September. And I had, so they asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, what I want to major in. And I said, agriculture economics. I always been interested in agriculture. In the meantime, prices of milk and food and stuff had gone up a great deal. And I used to read what the economists wrote and so forth. So of course, you know, all my university credits were good. They applied, they took care of a lot of the basics. I, of course, didn't get, you know, the nursing credits. If I had been stayed with nursing administration, which I'd have gotten, did not apply. I don't know why. I also toyed with the idea of going back to work, yes, for a long time. And the intensive care units interested me. But I finally decided I was too old.
I already failed. I know that feeling.
I have been out of nurses training too long, and I don't know why I resented. I didn't want to go back and take a refresher course. You know, sometimes since then I've often thought, why didn't I do that? But I didn't want to take a refresher course. Ag Econ was interesting. It was very hard for me. I think I should have gotten a little better advice. I think it should have been pointed out to me. You know, it's so much math-oriented. I didn't realize. I'd had a semester of economics in 1940. You know, you know Dr. Bill Kuechover?
Yes, yes. He's my obstetrician.
His father was the economist at the University of Wisconsin. He taught Econ 1A and 1B, and everybody took Econ 1A and 1B. But really, it was taught differently. It was not, it's so much math involved now, and structured, math structured. It's a different discipline since I'd had 1A from Mr. Kuechover Sr. And it was a struggle all the way through. And also, you know, there was a span of 34 years.
Right.
And even though I was an older student, had been out of nurses training, I really did very well grade-wise when I went to school. But I was never able to make the grades. But I plugged away at it, kept at it. I had to drop out a couple of times. One time was this semester, and I was bleeding right to start, you know. The first time I ever had any problem with the bleeding was the first semester I went back to school. That was just, I'd never had anything like that. And then just a year later, I was having this problem of bleeding all the time. My husband saw me in August the first time. And I had to drop out. I registered, but I had to drop out. I dropped out that first week of class already. But I went back second semester. And then we went to England in October of 81. It was easier for Leroy to go at that time than any other month. And so I dropped out that semester. It would have been easier for me to go to school. But anyhow, I kept plugging away at it. And finally, I graduated last May with a degree in agriculture economics.
Right.
So,
do you ever have any feelings, Anne, about, I mean, a few times in your life, a time in your life that you moved with Leroy, you stopped what you were doing and you moved, you...
Oh, yes, I suppose.
You know, that's what...
This is true. I have no regret. And when it was, you know, he urged me to go on to school, mm-hmm. to go to school in 47, 46, 47, mm-hmm. even though both of us wanted to have a family. Mm-hmm. You have to be conditioned and think differently,
yeah.
think differently.
Yeah.
We had, in nurses training, we had worked hard. You always did this, you always did your work, you always did, and it was that way from home. Well, I knew, as I said earlier, I knew I couldn't go to school. I would probably spend too much time taking care of the children. Also, there's so many conveniences now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in preschool education
mm-hmm.
or nursery care or anything. And you had a different attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That I suppose, if I were 35 today, and Leroy coming back from the war, because that's what we were at that stage,
mm-hmm.
we would think of things differently
mm-hmm.
and probably do it differently. But that didn't enter
right.
my mind. It was not the way I was constituted.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never,
mm-hmm.
I looked at it realistically enough to know
mm-hmm.
that there's no point, don't regret that, because you would not have
oh,
done
right,
it differently.
Right.
You just were not conditioned that way. Today, I think that's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And very likely I might have.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have your living situation better. You'd also be able to get some,
yeah.
There was this attitude you didn't have around here. The children, there was no preschool care.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, the Unitarian Church, that nursery school
mm-hmm.
started.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't say, I don't feel that, no.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been different if we lived in a different time.
Right.
I can see, I
yeah.
have insight, enough insight into
yeah.
that.
How much did you see yourself as a faculty wife?
I always enjoyed University League,
uh-huh.
very much so.
Uh-huh.
I preferred it to belong to the Medical Auxiliary. I never belonged to the medical auxiliary except for about 2 years. No, I know. About 2 years. Once Ann Talbot conned me into a Leroy had gotten her on the committee. And I belonged about 2 years. And these days their dues are just atrocious, I think, for what they do.
I don't know.
And I was just not interested. There was a limit to what I felt I had time outside of the home to do. You know, in those days before the kids went to children's care, I remember one time wanting very much, a friend came to town. I can't even recall who it was. It was a nurse we knew. I just know that. Somebody called me, wanted to get together. I could not find anybody to do anything. You know, I had 2 children home, I guess, one or two. You just didn't have sit.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, you were much more housebound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It should have been lots of areas, neighborhoods worked it out, you know, 2 or 3 days, you take care of my kids,
mm-hmm.
I take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that situation never worked very well here.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you have to, families have to be alike, and
mm-hmm.
have to, that didn't work very well.
Right.
And so, I can't remember what I was going to say. You just didn't. You sort of
mm-hmm.
accepted it as it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed University League. I enjoyed the contact with the other faculty. I felt I always listened to lectures on WHA, and I knew that was another reason I decided to go back to school. There was a whole different world out there
mm-hmm.
that we lived right close to and really knew nothing of in mm-hmm. many ways,
mm-hmm.
in many other disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy those.
WHA
courses.
Yes, I too. They mm-hmm. were the things that kept you going doing your
mm-hmm.
housework.
Right.
Yeah, and with the children home and
mm-hmm.
having to get lunch. The kids came home from school always,
mm-hmm.
you know, for lunch.
Yeah.
And so I knew there was a whole, that was interesting, that there were other disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as per se, and I enjoyed the University League Board
mm-hmm.
very much.
You were very active. You were active.
I was active. I was surprised when they asked me the first time, and then I did a number of things. And I enjoyed the presidency of University League, and it's had its rewards.
What year was that?
74, 75. And really, you work harder sometimes than some of the other jobs, but really the presidency has its real rewards. Mm-hmm. You can recognize, you know, and you often then are invited to some of the functions they do these days, and to one of the people, the poor. And so you have a... I probably enjoyed that as much as anything mm-hmm. I've done in strictly volunteer work. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed League. And I preferred it very definitely to SS. The medical auxiliary.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was a conscious decision.
I think we're going to stop here. Tape 2, side 1. One of the questions here, and that they have written down here, is to what extent do you feel your husband's profession has shaped your life?
I think it has. I think it, Leroy being the reader he is, and the broad knowledge of constant reading and so forth, that of course wouldn't be his profession. Not that I don't mean he reads in that degree. Has opened up my eyes to lots of things. And I guess when you think about it, the medical profession, I realize we in the med school really are not the stereotype of what people think of a doctor or a doctor's mm-hmm. wife. Mm-hmm. Really quite the contrary. But it has given me contact with a lot of very interesting people. And I think it's widened my education greatly, I feel.
Well, can you be a little more explicit about the difference between being on the medical faculty and being a doctor's wife in the community? Or is that which?
Yeah. Well, I think the stereotype, what people always think of, the doctor's wife in the community, is the one with the biggest car.
Mm-hmm.
Or belonging to the organizations like the Attic Angels or the society organizations to a great extent. I think more so, and all depends on locale too. Also I think in faculty wise we tend to have a broader spectrum or broader background of people. You know, you talk about best friends or buddy buddies or so forth. I have never been that way, but usually you'll find I have many friends, most of my friends are not doctor's wives. Mm-hmm. They're in other
mm-hmm.
items. Well, particularly in the private practice or in people in private practice or of course in smaller towns where there aren't so many, then that's who your friends are
mm-hmm.
too. I think in Madison, where you have so many different types of people and organizations, and also I think that is not as much as it used to be, when there's always so much publicity about different things. The medical auxiliary does this and that. Then I think those things get stereotyped,
mm-hmm.
that now you don't notice that so much. But
we're lacking a society page in our
that's right. And I think it has made quite a difference
yeah.
in many things. And there's just a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the whole, and I think probably more so, it's given me a wider spectrum and a a broader education, being on the university, medical school, on the university faculty, than if you were in a private practice, strictly private practice, whether a town like Madison, a city like Madison, or something, you know, in a blue-collar town, you probably have a large, of course, these things are changing too, large manufacturing people that with that, and then you have your professional people.
Mm-hmm.
Where here you have semi-professionals, and you know, you're mixed in,
mm-hmm.
and you find people in all walks of life
mm-hmm.
that you feel are, you know, really in your same category,
mm-hmm.
that you have to be friends with.
Mm-hmm. Were you a volunteer at the hospital?
I've worked at the hospital ever since September of 68. First it was sponsored by University League.
Mm-hmm.
That was sponsored by University League, and that's how I got interested. And of course, I was always interested in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospital was really home to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had worked there,
mm-hmm.
my children were born there,
mm-hmm.
and knew it when it was, when you knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started on the escort service, and we used to work very hard on the escort service. I used to work one day a week, 9 to 1 on Tuesdays. And then eventually I started working at the front desk. I wanted to learn that job. And I used to work summers too. There are many summers I worked full time, worked all summer. They've gotten kind of refined, which they needed in summertime. And then they started that auxiliary,
mm-hmm.
which is a different type of organization and so forth. And I joined it, but I've never been active in it.
You mean the Friends?
The Friends of the University
Hospital.
Yeah. It was first called the Auxiliary.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And I'm trying to think, that was started before we moved out. That must have been started about 70, see, the hospital moved in 79. I would say that was probably started about 76. Yes. I was off the league board, I remember, and I remember Phyllis Young asking me to be on the original nominating committee for officers, and I declined, and she was so surprised. and I said, I just wasn't that interested in it. I had worked for league and joined it, and I just simply was not interested in the auxiliary. But I joined it then, I paid my dues. I've never really, I don't belong to the executive committee, I've never done anything. And I have now, and all, I did keep my one place all the time I went to school. I have gotten, so I work every other Tuesday, I worked every other Tuesday morning at the front desk. Once or twice I had to do a Tuesday afternoon, that is a semester, and I was able to change with the morning person. She would change with me, but I only work every other Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then last summer they opened up, after I finished school, I thought, well, I'd maybe like to do something a little more. And last summer they opened up a position at the clinic's entrance desk, clinic's desk. And so for a couple months, for 2 months, I worked every Wednesday morning there, but I thought that's just too much. And so now I have it down where I work every other Tuesday morning at the front desk, 9 to 12, they shorten the hours, and every other Wednesday morning, 8 to 12. At the clinic's entrance desk. But the front desk job has changed quite a bit because we've gotten, we have much less information as to, it was sort of a source of information. You know, other places in the hospital call, not that we ever give any information to the out.
Mm-hmm.
If they call about a patient, either they've got to talk to the floor or talk to the patient or public affairs when you have people with accidents, you know. But lots of times they'll call from X-ray or some of the other departments, is that patient in, or, you know, all the information hasn't been filled out on the charts or on the slips that they can fix it for billing, and where was the patient, or so that the slips are made out. And we get, now, we have something called a computer printout. We have this machine, and you punch in the letters, and you get the people. They do give us a census, too, because it helps to have it. But all we have is the patient's name, the room they're in, the telephone number, their hospital number, and how many days they've been in. and I think maybe the service they're on, I'm just not even sure. And so you really just know, you know, and you have very little information, and the job has changed quite a bit, but I'm still with it anyhow. I work 9 to 12.
That's one day, one half day a week.
Mm-hmm. It really is a good half day because you're tired and you get home, you have some lunch or you do something else, and you know, you spend most of the day at it. It takes a good part of the day out of the day. And so I work once a week. I work Wednesday morning. Yeah. But the hospital has always meant so much to me. I enjoy the contact. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things I like to do. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of all the hours I've put into the hospital volunteer work. I really have. An awful lot. Mm-hmm.
I just started volunteering about a month ago in the flower mart.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I worked
Wednesday afternoons, every Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. They were there the last Tuesday. That was the first time. See, I was gone 4 or 5 weeks. What hours do you work? 12 to 4?
Yes.
Are you busy or is it kind of
slow?
Yeah.
It was slow last Wednesday. Let me just shut this off for a minute.